The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FBC Radio Live. Yeah, that's right. It's Monday. And we're here. We're going to be breaking down all of Sunday's action. And I'd be lying if I said, for me, in particular, Sunday was probably one of the most perfect Sundays I've experienced in quite some time. You know, save for Super Bowl Sundays where the Patriots are involved, or in this case, Tom Brady's involved. A lot of great stuff happened, a lot of great action, and I must say, my ego is growing stronger and stronger by the day, John. I can't help it. It's getting out of control. John? No, John. apparently, John cannot hear me. Oh, nope, there it is.
I can hear you.
Okay, nope, there was that was me. That was a controller error. I accidentally muted your mic.
Wow. Mr. Perfect is no longer Mr. Whoa. Perfect. You can't even flip the switch to hear my praise of you, Ian, because all I could think of is as that Buffalo-Kansas City game was winding down at like 2 in the morning after the lightning delay or whatever time it finally got over, it was like, man, that was a great day for Ian, right? The Patriots eked out a win somehow. Yep. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but you know what? A win is a win.
Exactly.
Tom Brady threw 5 touchdown passes, which just looked like he was out there among children, which oftentimes he is. And then Patrick Mahomes didn't look all that good last night. Kansas City is now 2-3. Mahomes threw 2 more interceptions, including a pick 6. So everything is right in Ian's world.
It is. And John, you didn't even mention this.
Do I hear number 8?
Oh, yes, that's right. The little interlude between the Sunday afternoon action into Sunday Night Football, actually into the first half of Sunday Night Football, considering how long this game went. But obviously, if you're a Red Sox fan, you're waking up pretty happy. Rays fan, maybe not so much. Maybe you're confused about the rules. But hey, let's face it, John, you know what they say.
Without rules, there's chaos.
That's right. And guess what? That unfortunate play, and yes, it was unfortunate for the Rays. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was just a case of bad luck. They ruled it by the letter of the law. I mean, it literally is in the rule book. So for anyone who's confused or calling for or saying that the Rays got screwed or this, that, and the other, well, you're just wrong. Know the rules. Learn the rule book. I mean, it's there for you. Plain as day. So, you know,
like Tom Brady talking about John Harbaugh after the playoff game 7 years ago.
I better watch out. Someone might tip people off to some deflated balls. You know, actually,
deflated microphones.
Yeah, microphones. I was gonna say I should have probably worded that previous statement a little bit better. But you know what?
It's all right.
Forget about it. We're moving on. Putting it behind me. No, obviously, the Red Sox benefited from that play, no doubt. I mean, anyone who saw that knows that there was no intent of hitting that ball over the fence. It was just, it happened. It's just part of the game. It's a ground rule double. And fortunately for the Red Sox, that saved them a run. Now, again, you know, lost in all this hubbub is that, well, you know, say he does score. Well, the Red Sox went 6-5 anyways because it was a 2-run walk-off home run. I know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of.
I always push back.
That's messy.
Happened.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Right,
look,
yeah.
That's messy.
Tampa could have scored another run.
Of course.
Pavetta may have been pulled. It may have turned into a 6-run inning. A lot of that happens because we're just assuming that everything takes place exactly the same from that
point
forward.
But there's no guarantee that Tampa wins anyways. So it's just.
Yep.
You know, the rule is the rule. I've seen people suggest changing it, and kind of my thing is, it's like, well, it doesn't happen often enough. I mean, how often does this happen to warrant a rule change?
It doesn't happen too often in the way it happened, too. Like, normally it bounces and goes over the fence. In that case, it bounced, came back, you know, bounced, hit the wall, and then came right into Renfro's chest. And luckily for the Red Sox, Renfro is a big dude. I mean, when you look at Renfro, he looks like the poor man's version of Mike Trout. They actually look alike. they're like almost the same size. So obviously the man has probably got like 5% body fat, and the thing hit him in the chest and just bounced right over the fence. So now it's second and third, you know, with two outs. Yeah, that's what the rules say. Are the rules perfect? No, but they have to interpret them and enforce them. And they were able to get out of that inning. Nick Pivetta, who almost felt like Nathan Eovaldi 3 years ago in the World Series. Like he came in and just was not going to give up. And then Christian Vasquez turned into Carlton Fisk. And what a great call by Matt Frascasian, if I can say his name right. I just call him Matty V, if that's the case. But he, the pitch, right before the pitch that Christian Vasquez hit for a two-run homer, he goes, seven catchers have had walk-off home runs in the postseason. The next pitch, number eight. I mean, just a great call by Matty V.
I wished, because that was a situation where, after that play, I don't know what it was. I just knew that they were going to win. It was one, you know how sports work. If the Rays could not score in that situation, you pretty much are lurking at it. Okay, it's not their night. I mean, it is how it is. And like just before that pitch, I'm thinking like, you know, he starts going into that thing about seven catchers. I wish he would have said make that eight, because that was the first thing that went into my head the second that ball and that bat connected. I was like, make it eight. And I was like, that would have been a perfect call, because the timing, the pause, everything was like, it was like he knew what was going to happen, which was great.
I think he did reference some of it, though, didn't he say? Is this number eight?
It wasn't as smooth as it would have been for me. I'm just saying, I was on a roll last night. At that point, nothing was stopping me.
Play-by-play guys, exactly. You're on that roll. Although it wasn't like a Giancarlo Stanton home run where as soon as it left the bat, you thought it was, you know, going to hit the turnpike.
That one, though.
That looked good,
The second it hit the bat, even that, because, like, you know, the J.D. Martinez long fly ball a few innings prior was still, like, you got, you know, you kind of, but you kind of paused because you knew it was like, okay, I don't know if that's going to get, and obviously it fell just short. But that one, it was just the swing, everything. It was just, and not to mention, again, just the occurrence of what happened just, you know, 10, 15 minutes earlier. It was just like, okay, this is how it is. And now, guess what? Red Sox are one win away from going to the ALCS. And what a wacky, crazy circumstance that would be. But, hey.
Yeah, especially after the first game with Tampa toyed with them, right? Winning 5-0. You've got a Rosarena stealing home, which to me is like the biggest insult you can have in baseball. You stole home plate. Like, that's like, I don't know what you could even compare it to in football. It'd be like a hidden football trick or something, you know, like something that would really embarrass the team. And give the Red Sox credit. You know, they've been able throughout the year to look awful, right, and then bounce back. And I think a lot of it has to do with Alex Cora. I'm a big Cora fan. Mm-hmm. I think he gives them quite a bit of cachet. He seems to have more attitude than any player, right? I mean, he seems to be the most arrogant, cocky guy on the team, and I love it. Because I think that's what made the Red Sox in the early part of the 2000s. Whenever Larry Lucchino came out and said, you know, the evil empire, we're not afraid of them, then the Red Sox started winning. Because up until that point, they just quivered at the sight of the New York Yankees. And I think Lucchino, who I'm a huge fan of, believe it or not, well, he's a Paisan, so that's one thing. But he gave the Red Sox that attitude of like, no, we can beat these guys. And I think Alex Cora is very similar in that sense.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's hard not to look at the results with him and without him. It's plain as day. I mean, sometimes the answer's obvious. The answer's obvious. Speaking of obvious, John.
This is great.
I just pitched three scoreless innings, and I'm setting myself up for a perfect end right here.
Pivetta here, we're going to start calling you.
it's just how it is. It's just how it is. Look, you know, anyone who knows me knows I say it all the time, and I always throw it out as a disclaimer. I'm the biggest Brady honk in the world. It's clear as day that he is on such a higher level than every other quarterback in this league. It sometimes, like I said, we overcomplicate things when it comes to sports debates. You know, we'll sit here and say, well, this stat, this and this and this. Well, if this happened, this, da 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 da. No, it just complicates things. When sometimes the answer is just obvious. Well, and this was always part of my argument before. Okay, if we're talking about who the best quarterback in the league is, well, you know, let's lay all the cards out on the table. Give me all the information that you have. Well, I'll look at this, and guess what? My eyes are going to keep going back to that. Well, this guy, in particular, has continued to win Super Bowl every other year for almost a decade. It's easy. It's easy. The answer is easy. It's not a coincidence. He isn't just a someone who's happened to fall into a lucky situation. He doesn't get luck. You don't luck into seven Super Bowl championships. No. You don't luck into just consistent, efficient dominance from every moment of his career. I mean, we're not just talking about this year. Like, even a down year, and you look at what the Patriots have been for the last part of the last year and a half, including some of the good stuff we're going to get to with Mac Jones this year. But you look at what they are, and you look back at that 2019 season, and his 24 touchdown slumping, is he falling off the cliff season, looks so much better in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly. Like, again, that's what I push back so much on. You know, coming out of that season, going into 2019 and 2020, you know, people talking about, oh, he's finally 40, whatever it was at the time, 42, whatever. Of course, he's not as good. He doesn't have this. And I'd always ask, okay, how has he fallen off? What part of his game has fallen off? And they'd always cite stats. And I'm like, wait, no. That's not what I'm asking for. I'm not talking about stats. I don't want to know about stats. I can look up his stats. What I want is you to tell me where he falls off. And inevitably, no one could ever give me an answer. And what I was looking for was, I wanted to see if people were going to sit there and try to tell me that, well, he doesn't have a strong arm anymore. Well, that wasn't true. And we've clearly seen that play out over the last 18 months or so. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. And again, each and every week, I just laugh at all the people that tried to convince themselves and convince me that this guy was half of the person he was. I remember, and you might remember this tweet, John. It said, if Tom Brady, you know, this is before he signed with the Bucks, I said he, at minimum, makes at least 2/3 of the league better. No team would get worse if they replaced whoever they had at quarterback. That included Aaron Rodgers. That included Patrick Mahomes. That included everyone's favorite new quarterback. He was going to make their team better. And I think at this point, a win's a win for me, because I think I was right on this.
Yeah, you look at the end of the 2019 season, they still went 12-4 somehow. It got to the wild card round and lost to the Titans. And I remember the end of that game because Tony Romo was doing the game on CBS at the time, and he started to talk about Brady. And I don't know if he had inside information or whatever the case may be, but he basically said, Tom's still fine. He just needs a little help, right? I mean, I remember that quote vividly, and it was so true. I mean, a quarterback can't carry a team by himself, but he can elevate those around him. He just didn't have anything to elevate around him enough. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now he goes to Tampa and he's got all the pieces and there's more freedom there and everything else. I mean, yesterday it looked like a chess master out there, right? I mean, he's just like so many steps ahead of everyone.
How do you fool him? How do you confuse him?
You really don't. The off game he had this year was against the Patriots, and I still maintain he was just hoping to get the hell out of there with a win. And he got the win, right? He got the win. And again, people knocked him last week and said, well, he didn't really play well. I said, well, he won. And so he made the plays to get the game-winning field goal that was makeable, unlike Mac Jones wasn't able to do that. And I'm not bashing Mac Jones here. I mean, to compare him to
Brady. He's a young kid.
Crazy. He's a young kid, and he's learning. He's learning. He's doing the best he can. And by all accounts, his teammates really like him, and he's bought into the program. But Brady did enough to win that game. Kind of like my guy yesterday, Rodgers did enough to set up multiple, you know, attempts to win the game, and the field goal kicker didn't come through till the final end. I mean, that throw he made on 3rd and 16 to
one
set
of my
up
favorite
the
of the whole day
goal,
of any
it was
quarterback.
Gorgeous. I mean, Dan Orlovsky was jumping on the around on the ESPN set with a big screen showing the whole thing. He's like, you know, about to explode. I mean, those are the things those two guys do. But yeah, nothing's going to fool him. I just think he may be really unstoppable now because that Patriots game is behind him, right? Like that's in the rearview mirror. They won. You know, he met with Belichick, and you move on now. And now their goal is obviously to win another Super Bowl. I mean, it just looked yesterday like he was just at peace with himself out there. Like he was literally like in some other sphere than the rest of the league. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's amazing how many franchises he's relocated to. It's just a, you know, or it's just the,
yes.
You know, I don't know if that's somewhere in the, you know, the Midwest or something, but, you know, everyone, the response is, oh, it's just the Dolphins. Well, you don't just throw five touchdowns and over 400 and literally just have a flawless game. I really cannot think of any time where he looked uncertain of himself, even on, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but, and very rarely have you seen it this season in general where he's looked either out of sorts or he's thrown a bad ball. Like I said, even the two interceptions, like you're not going to, you know, no one's going to chalk up to him. You know, if you remember them, they came all the way back in week one, and one was off a guy who literally gets an interception every damn game now. So is it really, you know, is it really a big thing? And now you're looking at, you know, him just, you know, they have a pretty soft schedule moving forward. And even in their struggles, and this is the big difference, and this is what Patriots fans, I think, are seeing now is when the Patriots struggled, because the Patriots struggled like this, you know, defensively many times in the past. People think this is a new thing. No, this, you know, they've gone through rebuilds. I mean, this Patriots defense is not too dissimilar to some of the others we've seen. The only difference is you don't have Tom Brady, and that's not a knock on Mac Jones. It's just speaking to how great Tom Brady is, because you see the Buccaneers dealing with the same thing. They have a pretty, you know, especially pass defense right now, they've been pretty poor. You know, rush defense, obviously you don't run on the Buccaneers, but their defense hasn't been as stout as people want to believe. So, but guess what? When you have those mistakes and you're still 4-1, that's a testament to your quarterback, because, you know, the quarterback is the ultimate equalizer, because they have the biggest impact on the game positively or negatively. Hence, quarterback wins are a stat, and it makes sense why. We've seen Rodgers, we've seen Tom Brady win a lot with less than stellar defenses and less than stellar talent around them. That's why we can make the assumption that they're going to continue to do that, because they have the ability to elevate the players around them. And again, I know Packers fans out there, if you're hitting the floor right now because I'm complimenting Aaron Rodgers, well, guess what? I'm always complimenting. Ask John. I mean, I really am a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. He's your second
favorite quarterback.
Yeah, well,
I believe that. Well, in terms of, I mean, take out of the equation that people want to, you know, elevate Rodgers ahead of Brady. Which, look, I'm
that's what
Aaron
that's
Rodgers,
what that's what I push back
there.
On.
That's the pushback. It's almost like I love Kevin Durant. I can watch him like seven nights a week. He's fabulous to watch, but I don't think he's LeBron James. So I kind of push back a little bit. That happens in all of these sports debates. Absolutely, but I think if Brady was out of the league, you would probably look forward to watching Aaron Rodgers play the position more than anyone
else. If Rodgers was still in the league, he might be gone before
It'd
Brady.
He's still in the league. I know. They both. But, well, I put out the question, like, you know, who's going to be the best quarterback in 5 years? Because I think it's going to be Justin Herbert. I really do. The more I watch that kid, I think he's going to be the best quarterback in football in 5 years, including Patrick Mahomes. But, damn, you know, Brady and maybe even Rodgers could still be playing in 5 years. I think Rodgers is probably going to get just sick of it and go do something else. Yeah. Brady could. I mean, look, I'm not betting against the guy. Why would you be foolish? I mean, he may play till he's 50, which would be absolutely
insane. If the game keeps getting simpler like it is now, why not?
Oh,
I mean, if he can just sit back there and like I said, I mean, it's the Dolphins, whatever you want to call them. I mean, that's a professional NFL organization that he just sliced and diced like it was no problem. Oh, apparently. All right, let's hear it again, because I hit it by accident.
Hit that home run again.
Why not? All right. See?
Drop that in every 15 minutes, as a reminder that we do talk baseball.
My hand hit the play button on my keypad, so that's what happened. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was an accident, and it was meant to be. But, no, so, you know, it's you look at how easy it is for him right now. And going back to what I was getting to, I appreciate the intelligence. And both of those guys, you don't match. I mean, again, I'm going to push back at anyone who thinks Rodgers is better than Brady, because I do think that there's a gap. But let's just put it this way. The gap, I would say there's a bigger gap between, or as big, if not equal to, a gap between number two and three as there is, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, so I'm trying to give them both their just due and just kind of put them on a level that I think they deserve to be, because, you know, experience matters. time length in this league matters. You know, the situations that you understand, because look, you know, some people will call me a Patrick Mahomes hater, and maybe that's true. Maybe it's true. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm, you know, not trying to bring him down a notch, because I am, because I do think that there was a certain level of over elevating or it just, they elevated him to this absurd level that he just didn't deserve to be on. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that play out now. You know, a couple years ago when I was talking about a lot of the issues, and again, there's plenty of tape on it because I've been doing the show for a couple of years now. When I started talking about really the flaws in Patrick Mahomes' game and how I thought if he doesn't fix these things, he isn't going to keep being the same guy. Well, they're starting to play out in front of us. And I know people scoffed at, you know, this turnover-worthy throws or dropped interceptions. And look, I mean, you know me, I'm not a big stats guy, but, you know, you can get some information from certain things like that. Like, if you lead the league for two seasons in dropped interceptions, that shouldn't be something to be ignored from an internal thing. You know, obviously, stat-wise and arguments, you know, sports debates, it doesn't matter. But if you're a talent evaluator within that Chiefs organization, if you're Patrick Mahomes, and you can't look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, this is something that needs to change, because eventually it's going to catch up to him. And I think maybe it's starting to, because since the Super Bowl, I mean, he's thrown, what, 8 interceptions now in the last 6 games?
Yeah. And they're 2-4 over the last 6. And you look at the 2 wins. I mean, they were fortunate to beat Cleveland. If Cleveland could have got out of their own way, the Browns probably win that game. And then you beat Philadelphia 42-30, which I think is a bigger indictment about your defense if you gave up 30 points to the Eagles, who have a below average offense, to be, you know, quite honest. So, yeah, no, they've got some issues there. And look, we talked about it before the season, and I wasn't as high on the Chiefs as most people, because there is that Super Bowl loss hangover that, other than the Patriots and Tom Brady, it seems like every team suffers. Like, you just go right down the list. If you lose the Super Bowl, the next year you tend to really go back to the pack, and in some cases not even make the playoffs. I remember the Rams in 2001 lose the Super Bowl, and they start the season 0-5. I believe they finished 8-8, maybe. And they had all sorts of talent. You know, so there is that Super Bowl hangover. And again, their defense is atrocious. And the thing about Mahomes, and I'm a fan because I enjoy watching him play, there's a lot of Steph Curry in him. And then Steph Curry, as great as he is, gets sometimes sloppy. I'll never forget the 2016 NBA Finals Game 7. He had 5 turnovers in the fourth quarter, behind-the-back passes for no reason. It's almost like Curry buys into his own brand, as does Mahomes. You know, the no-look pass, you know, all those types of things where he loses the fundamentals. And again, when you're talented, sometimes you forget fundamentals, but you should visit that all the time so you're not turning the ball over unnecessarily. So he's got that in him as well.
I would say this, though. He's never had the fundamentals. That's
right.
The problem.
He's got a golden arm, right? Yeah.
Like, because you know, even in that 2018 season, and this is the big thing. So everyone's convinced themselves that what they saw in 2018 is what we see every single season. Now we're 3 seasons in, and what we've seen over the course of the 2.5+ years is nothing like what we saw in 2018. Now let's revisit it. My biggest, you know, question about him was, I don't think people think he's this accurate core. I don't think he is at all. I think it's more and more that we see these games get played and these teams realize, hey, don't be stupid. Don't leave Tyreek Hill out on an island by himself and get beat that way. You know, the Bills play 2 safeties high all night and just bracketed Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Travis Kelce's going to get his. You know, these other guys are going to get theirs, but as long as Tyreek Hill doesn't beat you, I don't see the Chiefs, I don't see Mahomes being able to sustain long drives consistently. And that's one of the biggest things. Like, any quarterback, any team can score quickly. If you happen to have some athletes, if you have some mismatches and some opportunities on offense and good play calling, guess what? You can score quickly. That's great. That's awesome. But I want to see you sustain drives when you need a 15-play drive, when you need to kill the clock, when you need to make completion after completion and just methodically go up the field. I don't see him being able to do that. You know why? because in those situations, teams are playing tight coverage. You're not going to get so many freewheeling wide receivers. And we saw yesterday, inaccurate passes, throws in the dirt, overthrows, and just kind of lazy sidearms and, you know, trying to make magic happen. It's like people are so hypnotized by this the athleticism. And like I say, I even laugh at that because, like, how much of that results in positive plays? Like, how many no-look passes has he completed? Two years ago? But now every time he does it, it's, oh, it's a no-look pass, a no-look this. Well, guess what? Why don't you set your feet, work on your mechanics, throw the ball like you should, and maybe you're not throwing these balls behind your receivers to get them picked off. Because that's what we've seen in multiple occasions. And look, all the talent of the world, raw talent, that's great. That's only going to get you so far. And so far, it looks like teams are very quickly catching up to that offense. And this is something that, you know, from years of watching NFL football, you realize great offenses like this aren't like people just assume that it was going to sustain for 15 years. Patrick right. Mahomes is on his way to being the GOAT. He's doing this, he's doing that. And like, look, we're year three in. We're already seeing some of the struggles. What happens when Tyreek Hill's not there anymore? What happens when Travis Kelce isn't there? What happens when they deal with more offensive line injuries? Joe Tooney, broken hand. He may be out for a while. What happens in all these situations? And so far, this type of adversity, he has not performed well in. Look at the last two Super Bowls. Now, to his credit, that fourth quarter against the San Francisco Giants, Damian Williams had that nice quarter, and that you know got him a Super Bowl. But the reality of it is, in big games, he's kind of fallen short of expectations. Because even go back to that 2018 game. The reason they lost that AFC Championship game was because he played poorly in the first half and they got shut out. And they couldn't make up enough points.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with him, and then again, we've talked about Dan Marino a lot, who had 48 touchdown passes in 1984 and then never recaptured that year. And Mahomes probably won't recapture the 2018 season. But you want to see him evolve. And I don't know if he's really evolved to the point where we expected him to. Like I don't think
at all, to be honest with you.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the same gimmicky stuff all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've compared them a little bit to the 99 through 2001 Rams, where they're exciting to watch. The defense isn't very good, but then they fall short, you know, because the defense is built to play with a lead and the offense hasn't been disciplined enough to give them the lead. They've covered one game in their last 12 against the spread. Not that that's important, but it does show you even their wins have been, you know, how many of their wins were, you know, single score wins.
I think someone mentioned it last week and before that win over the Philadelphia. I think like 7 of the last 8 wins were like one score games.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not getting ahead, blowing someone out. And even the Eagle game, I mean, again, if Jalen Hurts puts 30 on you, your defense is really bad. I mean, their defense is atrocious, but I think their offense, oftentimes those kind of go hand in hand. So now your defense just assumes that your offense is going to catch up, and then it doesn't, and then you're screwed at that point, right?
Yeah.
You're playing from behind, and you can't quite do it.
Well, look, I mean, that's the thing. I think no one's sitting here pretending like the Kansas City defense is good. I mean, they're terrible. They're awful right now. They're going to get shredded by just about everyone. But it's also going to give the folks that don't want to accept the fact that Mahomes has a big hand in this. Because, like, yeah, okay, the defense gave up some poor points, but the Chiefs had plenty of time to get into this game. They couldn't do it on offense. And part of it was, again, I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, and he deserves a good chunk of it because he just hasn't been playing well. And, you know, people will bite back at that. I think less like, you know, that GIF with or the meme with Homer sitting in the, you know, tapping on the couch, you know, saying, come sit with me. You know, that's what I'm doing right now. I just don't have a big enough couch because there's a lot of people that are starting to, you know, kind of shift towards my way of thinking. And you know, it's not like I'm not getting joy. I mean, I guess I am. I am getting joy out of being
you
right.
You are.
I'm not getting joy out of someone falling short of expectations. Let's be clear about that. I'm not rooting for Mahomes to fail. I'm rooting for me to be right. There's a difference.
I think the similarities we have is I'm not real huge on declarative statements. like in sports.
Yeah, like, oh, for sure.
I always push back. Like, it's Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player ever, and he may be. But I think there's a debate with three other players, whether it's LeBron, Kareem, or Bill Russell. Or the declarative statement is Wayne Gretzky is by far the greatest hockey player ever. Well, you know, let's talk Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr, and Gordie Howe. You know, Babe Ruth's the greatest player ever. Well, you know, Barry Bonds and Willie Mays may have something to say about that. We all agree Brady's the greatest quarterback. Now, the debate is he the greatest football player, which is nearly impossible to answer because how the hell are you comparing,
exactly.
You know, Tom Brady to Reggie White or Lawrence Taylor? But because of the impact of the position, it's pretty tough.
I would say of all those four sports, as crazy as it sounds, if you're going to make a case for any, Brady might have the strongest case because I think there's...
He may.
Just because of just how far he's separating himself and continues to do so.
As far as quarterbacks and even players, again, the impact. I mean, look, I was thinking this as I'm watching the Giants lose again, and I'm all over the place this morning, but so be it. They drafted Saquon Barkley with the second pick in the draft, and he's always hurt, and I root for the kid because he seems like a great kid. Especially in the modern times of football, great running backs, awesome to watch, have very little impact on the final outcome in terms of winning championships.
Well, think about how great Derrick Henry is.
Derrick Henry's great. I'm old. I'm the old guy. So Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, O.J. Simpson, those are three of the all-time great running backs of all time. The Bears didn't win until they finally got a defense.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson and Barry Sanders never sniffed the Super Bowl, and they're all-time greats. Like, and here's the Giants picking Saquon Barkley with the second pick. Pick a quarterback or someone else. But, I think you could make a case that Brady has probably – the declarative statement of him being the greatest quarterback ever, yes, I'm on board with that. Although I always bring up different eras. It's tough to compare. But, no, he's the greatest quarterback ever without question. But we push back on these declarative statements in that – Mahomes is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Well, let's give him some time. I mean, you know, maybe he will be in 10 years. Like my guy, you know, who I think is one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time, especially at the Super Bowl era, Aaron Rodgers, at least he now has accomplishments, right? Like his 2011 season may be the greatest season a quarterback ever had in the regular season.
I put that, like I have
like 07 Brady. 07 Brady.
2004 Manning. Not 2000. Yeah, 2004. People always say 2013, and I'm like, no. 2004 Peyton Manning was.
Yeah.
I mean, those three quarterback seasons are, I think, again, you can make a case for any three of those being the best, and the stats, a lot of, you know, the advanced analytics back that up. So, I'm right there with you.
But what makes Brady, Manning, and Rodgers, and again, they've all, you know, one guy's retired, the other two were deep into their careers, they've gone out and had other seasons comparable, like Rodgers in 14 and last year won the MVP. Mm-hmm. Brady after 07 won an MVP in 2010, won an MVP in 2017. Like, I want to see Mahomes, you know, do that. Again, he's young, so he still has time, but let's not put him there quite yet. You know, do this with actors even, like one great performance. Like, well, this is the greatest actor we've ever seen. Well, maybe that was just the right role for that actor and he nailed it. Let's see him do other roles. And that's the same thing here with Mahomes.
And Daniel Day-Lewis. I know you weren't going to bring him up, but I will. I know you wanted to not bring him up because you didn't want to seem like, you know, too much of having too much bias. So I'll just bring him up for
We're
you.
Snobs, aren't we? Yeah, exactly. We go right to Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. That's what I knew I'd like you. When you said Daniel Day-Lewis, I said this. Although I'm also a big Sean Penn fan. He's not too far behind, but those two guys are just awesome. Daniel Day-Lewis is the man.
You're not going to get much argument from me. But look, I mean, and you know, that was kind of my thing was like, you know, people were making, like you said, these declarative statements. Oh, the most, and I hate the vague ones, the talent, most talented. Well, no one can ever explain what they mean by talented. It always ultimately ends up being, well, he can run around. Well, what good does that do you? Clearly it doesn't do him any good or good enough to make a difference. But, you know, making these declarative statements when I'm sitting here scratching my head saying like, well, first off, you're sitting there telling me, oh, it's the greatest start by a quarterback ever. I'm like, wait, no, it isn't though. I mean, you might have an argument, but to sit there and say definitively when I'm looking at, again, we brought it up the Rams earlier, and I think it's such a great comparison because it's such a great comparison because of how, you know, similar the situations were and the starts were to the point where, like, hell, you can make a case that Warner's 3-year start was better than Mahomes. Oof. So how can you even, you know, it was. I mean, like, and I brought this up before, is like his passer rating he obviously, we all know he was the last quarterback to win MVP, Super Bowl MVP, and the Super Bowl all in 1 year.
Right.
His passer rating that season was 30 points above the average. But it was below what Patrick Mahomes is. And that just speaks to the inflation of some of these numbers over the last 20 years. But, like, people get, you know, so, like, you know, caught in the moment that they're sitting there saying these crazy things. And I'm sitting here saying, no. Go back. Look at Kurt Warner. Look at what he did. Look at these first three seasons, and you can make an argument. Now, again, we could also talk about, well, what constitutes a start? Because that seemed to be, you know, 3 years seems like a weird number for a start. I feel like one season would be considered a start, in which case he's not even close to having the best start of all time. So, you know, these things you punch back at, and like, you know, I you know, when it specifically comes to him and Brady, it's like they sit there and say that, you know, Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. It's like, I'm looking over the course of the last three seasons, and Brady's been the better quarterback over these last three seasons. So how do you come to the conclusion that Patrick Mahomes is somehow better? So, and that's what I really combat against. And like I said, if it's a choice between doing that, you know, or being a Mahomes hater and knocking back a lot of that, I'll do it all the time, because like, I can't stand the hyperbole. Like, there's a certain amount of hyperbole that should go into sports, but we're so over the top with it. It's absurd. It's like hypotheticals. Like, hypotheticals used to have a spot in sports conversation, because that's all it was hypothetical. Now, people use hypotheticals as facts or supporting evidence to make their point, and it makes no sense. Like, how can you use a theoretical situation that you just made up to back up a factual or what you think is a factual statement? So, end rant.
I think too, when I look back to Kurt Warner, that was at a time when you could still hit quarterbacks. You know, like, I go back to the Super Bowl against the Patriots and the pick six by Ty Law. That would have been called back today. Mm-hmm. That would have been roughing the passer, right? Because McGinnis was right in his face. Was it McGinnis or Vrabel? I think it was Vrabel that was right there, essentially hit him in the helmet. And that would have been a penalty today. They would have called back the pick six. It was a different sport than it, you know, was 20 years ago. And that guy was tough. Mm-hmm. Man, talk about a tough guy. He took, because he couldn't move, and he just took pounding after pound. That guy was one tough guy. You see him off the field, and he's, you know, a God-fearing, nice guy. I mean, Kurt Warner, I like
Kurt
Warner.
Yeah, I like Kurt Warner, too.
And plus, 20 years ago, people said we kind of looked alike, so I don't know if that's the case. But he's a likable guy, but you wouldn't think on the field he'd be this tough guy. Man, he was tough. He would take pounding after pounding and get up. I mean, he came very close to winning three Super Bowls and being MVP in each one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk, if the Rams win that game, he's clearly the MVP of the Super Bowl 36. And if they beat the Steelers, you know, nearly a decade later, he's the MVP of that game too. So that's why I always wanted to see him in the Hall of Fame. It wasn't a long career, but man, it was impactful and was great. But yeah, I'm so with you with Mahomes. Let's calm down here. I watched Josh Allen last night. I watched Justin Herbert yesterday. Those guys have arm talent comparable to Mahomes, don't they?
And I mean, think they both understand the actual defense is better. Like
Herbert does. Herbert's scary.
Herbert's scary. I think Josh. I'm becoming more and more of a fan, because obviously I'm a Patriots fan. But you know, I had questions going into it, saying like, hey, you know, can he repeat what he did last year? Because those first two seasons were not great. But you look at him, and if you're looking at a graph of him, his progression, it's just slow. It's just climbing and climbing and climbing.
Yep.
And I saw last night a guy who knew what the defense was giving him, knew what he wanted to do. So when that ball snapped, he made this quick decision after quick decision.
Yep.
And I don't think Patrick Mahomes does that. I think he looks for Tyreek Hill, then runs and scrambles and hopes things break down. Yep. And guess what? Sometimes they do, because you can't play defense forever. And if you create enough space and you have a guy like Tyreek Hill who can run around enough, eventually he's going to get open. Once teams, again, start figuring out, stop doing that, you know, like the Bills did, they came in with a plan and they knew exactly what they were doing. Because you know why? Because, again, like we said at the top of the show, it comes full circle. The answer is as obvious as it looks. Like, don't try to overcomplicate things. Look at what other teams have done. Look at what he's capable of doing. And the answer is obvious. Don't let Tyreek Hill get open. He is the most dangerous player on this Chiefs team.
He's the most dangerous player in the league, I think.
Yeah, you can make that argument, too.
I mean, if you want to say home run hitters, like if all these wide receivers, like I think Davante Adams is right there with any great receiver in the sport. He doesn't obviously have the breakaway speed like Tyreek Hill, but I think as a route runner, he's impeccable. But yeah, as far as a home run hitter, I mean, that guy, Tyreek Hill, the ball gets in his hands. If he's not touched, count to three. If he's not touched, it's a touchdown, right? It's like it's over. So yeah, that part too. Yeah, two safeties up high, dare him to run and go from there. And then, yeah, that's what Tampa did in the Super Bowl. And then Buffalo was able to get some pressure on Mahomes. They sacked him twice, but they got enough pressure on him with just four rushers. And what does he do there? You know, so is he going to make him have a 12, a 14, or 15 play drive? I don't know if he has the patience to do that. We know Brady, that's right in Brady's wheelhouse.
Saying, like, you know, you play cover two against Patrick Mahomes, you're doing pretty well. You know, you do cover two against Tom Brady, well, he's going to pick that zone apart. No. Like, and that's the difference, because I don't think, certainly not at this point in his career, that Mahomes has the ability to do that, because, like, we've seen it. We've seen it every time that they've struggled. This is what it is. And, like, you know, if they happen, even, you know, what, last week against the Eagles, it was like, five touchdowns, okay. I mean, great, awesome. I think, you know, like, to your point, that one that was to Tyreek Hill, where I think he ran across the field and then all the way down. You know what I mean? And it's just like, okay, I mean, look, that's a touchdown pass. It's a touchdown pass. Even that little, like, you know, forward lateral for his second one of the day. So it's like, you know, save me the, oh, he has the most, I think he has the most touchdowns in the league right now, actually. I think he has one more than Tom Brady. But
yeah, I think he has 16 and Brady has 15.
Yeah, but to me, that doesn't matter. To me, it's just, I'm like, I don't care about how many touchdowns you can throw. I mean, it's about what you can do on the field and what I can see and what you can, you know, again, how can you elevate your team? Because am I convinced that he can? I don't want to say no, but I'm also not sitting here saying he's certainly on any level that Rodgers or Brady are on right now. Because we know those two players elevate their team, every player around them, to such a high level that it's and we've seen it year after year after year after year. That's the thing.
Remember that play last night where he had like 8 seconds to throw?
Yeah,
he kind of looked jittery in the pocket there, right?
Like, yeah, and then he just missed it.
Almost threw a pick, right? Like, so in that situation, I've seen Brady and Rodgers, they're very calm. In fact, I had a friend who watched the Packers game yesterday and said, it almost looks like Rodgers doesn't care. I go, it's not that he doesn't care. He's very calm. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a cool customer, as is Brady. And Brady flips out sometimes because he's, you know, the most competitive guy ever. But they're both, like, in control of what the hell they're doing. They'd be really good pilots. Yeah. I always equate that, you know, Brady and Rodgers would be Sully, they'd land the plane on the Hudson. Mahomes is a little bit more like Denzel Washington in Flight. You know, he's going to get it landed, but it might be landing upside down, which is pretty amazing scene in that movie. But yeah, so, and again, he could learn these things. But again, what happens with athletes is they build a brand. And now the brand is no look passes and all of this other stuff. I sound like an old guy, all of this other stuff. But you know what I'm saying? So now the brand overtakes you. It's like, almost like, you know, like Kyrie Irving has a brand, which now he's going to, you know, refute everything. So he's got to keep doing it, even if he doesn't believe it. So that's the thing that, you know, Andy Reid and that coaching staff is going to have to work on. Before that, though, they do have to fix that defense, which I don't know if it's fixable. That defense, Ian, has given up 7.1 yards per play. The greatest show on turf, the Rams from 99 to 2001, averaged 7 yards per play. So the Chiefs are making every team they play look like the greatest show on turf.
Last night,
Josh Allen looked like he was toying with them last night.
And let me ask you, does Tyrann Mathieu throw his arms up after every single play? Good God. I mean, I noticed this last year, too, and it's like, you know, I like the Honey Badger for the most part. It's like, you know, it is what it is.
Hell of a
player.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, does he just complain? And, like, and if there's a blown coverage, good God, I would hate to be his teammate, it feels like. I feel like he, you know what I mean? Like, everything's always someone else's fault in coverage, it seems like, you know, and So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Look, they're not a championship defense right now. I question no. what their ceiling is offensively. And like I said, I mean, I don't know. Is it ever going to get much better for the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs with since 2018? I don't know. I mean, that was a pretty damn elite offensive group around you. You know, you can't expect to have that your entire right. career. So we'll have to see how that plays out. So I don't even who's playing Monday Night Football tonight. I don't even know.
Baltimore, right. And Indianapolis.
Right, Baltimore and Indianapolis. I think I picked the Ravens in this one.
Yeah, they should win.
Yeah, well,
I mean, Indianapolis is a mess.
Yeah, yeah. That should be a fairly, I don't want to say easy win, because all these primetime games have been always fairly interesting. So maybe we'll get one of those. But yeah, I do think the Ravens are going to eke it out. But
you know what's on at 7 o'clock tonight?
I do.
The Red Sox,
I do.
Tampa, and then at 9:30, my San Francisco Giants locked up in a heated series with the Dodgers. So there a lot of go. Baseball, too, today.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. I'm going to be planting my rear end in my seat for much of the evening tonight. So, but we will be back tomorrow, so hang tight, have a great day, and we will talk to you then.